This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You've been listening to another podcast of The Affair on Joy 94.9, joy.org.au/The Affair.
Joy 94.9.
Mad Men is a historical term short for Madison Avenue Men, was coined by the New York advertising industry itself of the 1960s in typically self-promotional fashion.
Tonight, Brett Sweeting and myself, Brett Scriver, are reclining into our best lounge suits in a sunken cocktail lounge of the Joy 94.9 studios as we pay homage to the wonderful Mad Men TV show and the fabulous decade that was the 60s.
So it's only fitting that we start with our usual theme, Playboy After Dark, a variety show from the very same era.
The Affair on Joy 94.9.
How appropriate tonight, Brady.
It just goes on and on, this
it
song.
It does.
Every week, I think we could just play this throughout the whole episode.
I know. Hey, now look, I've got a special for you as well. You know, I always bang on about the Madison.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually got the Madison to play later on in the show.
I like it.
I want to say a big thank you to Dylan for the Chappelle Show.
Mm-hmm. And to Byron for the news.
Yes, absolutely. But look, we're paying homage to the 60s tonight, especially to that fabulous TV show, Mad Men. I can't get enough of it. I just love it.
Thought you were going to say you can't get enough Mad Men. Boom, boom.
My goodness, about we might have a bit of a prize.
We do tonight have a prize. Now, tonight is all about the 60s, but we've got a double pass to a movie that wasn't made in the 60s. It's not even set in the 60s.
Ah.
It's Only God Forgives, and it stars Ryan Gosling and Kristen Scott Thomas. Now, Only God Forgives is a stylish revenge thriller. It's about Julian. He's a drug smuggler thriving in Bangkok's criminal underworld. Now,
yes.
I was in Thailand earlier this week, but not in Bangkok's criminal underworld. Anyway, Julian is going to see his life get even more complicated when his mother compels him to find and kill whoever is responsible for his brother's recent death.
Oh my God.
That's a twisted mother-son relationship, if ever I heard one. Anyway, if you would like to see it and see if Ryan Gosling does avenge his brother's death...
I'm assuming with his shirt off.
Well, it's in Bangkok's criminal underworld, so it's going to be hot and sweaty. Lots of excuses to run around shirtless.
Okay,
So if you'd like to see Ryan Gosling with his shirt off, thanks to Icon Film, all you have to do is be a Joy member, not have won a prize within the last 2 weeks, and you can SMS us 0427 Joy949. You can phone in 1300 Joy949, or you can email us onair@joy.org.au.
Well done.
But it's not that simple. Because it's a 60s Mad Men show, you have to tell us what your favourite 60s movie is.
What's your favourite 60s movie, Brett?
Ooh, I should have thought of that before the show.
Well, I can tell you that probably some of the original James Bond
for me. To Serve With Love.
To Serve With Love.
Yep.
I have to say, do you know what I watched the other day, which I absolutely loved? Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Ah.
Which I absolutely love. Now, as promised, now this is for you because I always go on.
It's Madison time. Hit it.
Now, this is the Madison. Now, this was a dance from the 1960s because it's all about Mad Men tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And this is...
I already want to start, like, swiveling back and forth. I wish I had flat-footed shoes on.
Now, this little excerpt is actually from another film set in the 60s, Hairspray.
Yeah, hold it right there.
There you go. And it was probably one of my favourite, although it wasn't in the 60s, it was definitely from the time. It showed a very different world to what we live in now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I haven't practiced my segues for tonight.
It's all right.
But speaking about another film set in the 60s was A Single Man.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a very pretty film. It's almost painfully beautiful to watch.
It's so incredibly stylized by the handsome Tom Ford. I mean, the man
is... Don't you hate him so much?
He's beautiful.
He's beautiful. He's nice. He's successful. Everything he does is a success.
I know. It makes you sick of those overachievers. But this is a song from 1962. It's Booker T and the MGs with Green Onions. You're in Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. joy.org.au for the world.
It's not just for the world, it's for all eras as well. It's for the 1960s tonight. It's the Mad Men Affair with Brett and Brett.
I know, I've put on a trilby and a fox. Just in case.
A fox, did
yes.
you?
Just double I decided to
going
mix
each,
it up.
Each way, yeah.
Yeah.
Hedge your bets.
Hedging my bets. Well, I wanted to do a little bit of Don and a little bit of Peggy.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
But obviously it's the Mad Men
more
Affair.
More Betty than... More Don and Betty, but anyway.
It is more Don and Betty, yeah. not Peggy.
Peggy's a bit dowdy.
Peggy is a bit dowdy. But hey, before we
sorry,
go to that,
sorry.
We do have a fabulous giveaway tonight, don't we?
We certainly do. If you want to see Ryan Gosling with his shirt off, thanks to Icon Films. Actually, we don't guarantee that he has his shirt off, but
we're guessing.
It's a likely scenario. We've got a double pass to Only God Forgives. Thanks to Icon Films, it stars Ryan Gosling and Kristen Scott Thomas. If you want to get a ticket to see that, actually a double pass, so you can even have a friend, you can SMS 0427 Joy949 and just tell us what your favourite 1960s film is.
Now, I said it was probably Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, but there's so many great 60s films.
Yeah, we won't judge you if you pick one that we don't like.
No,
we'll
no.
still put you in the draw.
Yes, well, I won't start my second one. I'll come to that a bit later, but I want to talk a little bit about Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mad Men's a show. It's set in the 1960s at the fictional Sterling Cooper Advertising Agency on Madison Avenue, hence the name. Now, the focal point of the series is Don Draper. Now, he's the creative director there, but it focuses on people in his life both in and out of the office. And it's a little bit about the social upheavals and changes that were going on in the 1960s. And if you watch this season, it's now up to its sixth season. Next season, next year, will be the seventh season and the final season.
Yes.
You have really seen a journey of what happened at the start of the 60s to what is happening now and how culturally and socially it's really changed. It's won 15 Emmys. And 4 Golden Globes. So Mr. Matthew Weiner definitely knows what he's doing. I've got a little bit of a clip to play from the show.
Who knows anything about that guy? No one's ever lifted that rock. He could be Batman for all we know.
His moods and the way he talks. I don't even know what he's saying half the time.
What's he like? Is he like a firm handshake kind of guy?
He's so nice.
He's kind inside. He hates me.
You love him.
Everybody loves him.
It's just the way he is.
Creative director.
He's a fraud.
Partner.
And a liar.
Father.
A criminal even.
Husband.
He lied to me every day.
And friend.
You're everything I'd hoped you'd be. Are you alone?
Well, Mr. Don Draper is never alone. He's always got far too many women
mm-hmm.
in his life.
Mm-hmm.
He's a philanderer? Would you say that?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Brett, you've watched the show.
I have. I'm a season behind, though. So
you're kidding.
Yes, I don't speak too much about last season.
No. Who would be your favourite character?
Do you know, I could almost, honest to goodness, we
yes.
didn't rehearse that. But I was just going to say, the problem I have with the show, or not the problem, is that almost every character is dislikable. At the very start of the
yeah.
show, we all were kind of thinking, you know, Peggy is kind of the underdog.
Yeah.
You know, she'll be kind of our hero. But, you know, she kind of isn't
is
that likable
sometimes
either. And everybody else, actually, you could probably say Roger's likable in a kind of smarmy type of
okay,
way.
Okay, so Roger is the, he's one of the senior partners. His father started the firm and he's the Peter Pan of the office. But he's the rich kid.
He doesn't really do a lot.
He doesn't, other than drinks and smokes.
He drinks and smokes all day in the office, as apparently you did in 1960s New
yes.
York. But, look, I've just had a flash as to what
yes.
my other favourite 60s movie is, but we'll
yes.
come back to that.
That's okay. But, look, some of the characters as well. One of my favourite characters is Joan. And Joan is the office manager, and she's the head of the secretarial pool.
She's great.
She's fantastic, and you can really feel her pain as a woman. She's a single... Well, she does become a single mother. She's also a bit of the office tart initially, and she's having an affair with Roger for quite some time, and she has tremendous breasts.
Yes. Look, you'd be living under a rock if you didn't know Christina Hendricks.
Absolutely.
Who plays her. If you haven't watched the show, you've at least seen her in the gossip mags, usually gussied up at some awards ceremony and being applauded for, you know, having a real figure.
Absolutely. And look, obviously, Betty Draper, played by January Jones, is Don's first wife that becomes his ex-wife.
She's not likeable at all.
No, she's not. I quite liked her initially, and she's actually a bit of a mole.
I did actually like her mothering style, which was basically, you know, teach the 9-year-old daughter to mix you a drink kind of thing. Yeah.
It's quite funny. The other thing that I found quite interesting is with the different shows, they deal into feminism, sexism. Clearly, the smoking, drinking plays a huge part. Mm-hmm. And I think the underlying message is that people were doing things far excessively in the 60s, if anything else. But there was also, there's racism, there's homophobia. And it's about when this was the real decade where the traditional establishment really got challenged on cultural values and family values, and it was really the turning point, I'd say, in the 20th
look,
century.
There's a lot of those issues that come up throughout the show. And interestingly enough, it's one of those shows that, although it's been successful, it's never rated its socks off. It's been one of those critically acclaimed shows, which I think a lot of people think they should be watching because it's, you know, culturally significant, but it hasn't rated with the masses, which is odd, but maybe it's because everybody's so dislikable, despite the fact that it's visually beautiful. Oh,
it's stylish beyond belief, and we're going to talk a little bit more around some of the influences in interiors, in fashion, and in food as well. But I want to play another track from the decade. It's from 1966. It's got to be The Supremes. From the Supremes A Go-Go album, you're in Joy 94.9. Swingin' 60 Sounds had to be The Supremes from Supremes A Go-Go back in 1966. You're on Joy 94.9. Oh, my goodness. We've had a few shout-outs, haven't we, Brad?
We've got some listeners, including one from New Zealand who regular listeners of the show may have heard of, a guy called Hikaru. But anyway.
Oh, he wants
to see photo proof that Brad is wearing a trilby. So, keep your eye on the Facebook page for that.
Yes, later on, Hickey. Just give me a break. Yeah. There's too much going on
We've
in
also
the
had some favourite 60s films nominated from someone who forgot to include their name, so you won't be winning a ticket to see shirtless Ryan Gosling.
But can I also say, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and The Party in the Valley of the Dolls? Great choice, mystery listener.
Yep, we like it. Big hello also to Sissy, who couldn't decide. She had a toss-up between Breakfast at Tiffany's and To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, yeah, good choice,
very
Sissy.
Very good. We've also had a message from Scotty, just saying he loves the show and he loves Dusty and the Supremes. So there you go, we're on top of that.
Oh, wow.
And another one from Kim, whose favourite movie's from the 60s. Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
Oh, my God.
It's a favourite of yours, isn't it?
I love it. Mm. Blanche, did I tell you? We've got rats in the cellar. Hey, so, Brett, how do we win tonight? So we're asking the question, what is your favourite 60s movie?
Yep, exactly. And what you can win is a not 60s movie. It's a double pass to see Only God Forgives. It's a stylish revenge thriller starring Ryan Gosling and Kristen Scott Thomas.
Absolutely. Now, it's all about the Mad Men, and we're talking about the 60s tonight. Now, obviously, one of the wonderful things about Mad Men is they've gone to such detail. Mr. Matthew Weiner?
Let's say Weiner.
We talk about Wieners a lot. Has gone to such detail with recreating actual sets and places and locations of the 1960s.
Yeah. Look, a lot of it, especially... it has gone all the way through, but especially when the show first started, that was where a lot of the attention was paid, was to the fact that everything looked so authentic.
Yep.
The offices at the... Actually, it's funny. There's some of the furniture in the offices is could fit in my living room now.
Oh, my God, you know, absolutely.
It's absolutely gorgeous. Not that I'm saying my living room's absolutely gorgeous.
No, but I have a buffet, which is a Danish-style buffet in my dining room, and it's... And it's from the 60s, yeah. And it's that beautiful low-level Danish wood.
Yeah,
it's heaven.
It is. And look, the show, you know, has probably gone some way, I guess, adding towards the revival, yes, of all that. I mean, not that mid-century furniture ever needed any encouragement to be a revival. As I said, just look at my apartment. But
maybe you need to post that later on
maybe
in the
I
site,
should.
Brett.
Maybe I should. But one thing that I have noticed about Mad Men, and with a lot of the kind of... And a single man, things, yes, like that. When they show the 60s, it's a selective vision of 60s decor.
Absolutely.
You know, it's all the very low-line sideboards,
yes,
and, you know, your lovely upholstered sofas and things.
Yes.
Unless they're deliberately trying to be ironic, which is when they get into a lot of the stuff that was also popular then, such as, you know, pink and orange as paint colours.
Absolutely. And some of the interior books that I've seen of the time of really mixing antiques with really bright, vibrant colours. This,
yeah,
is because of the changes of technology that you could actually get these wonderful colours and heavy prints and patterns.
Yeah, and a lot of it was, well, there was a lot of like those Indian colours came into it,
oh,
like hot,
yes,
pinks and hot oranges and things,
yes,
like that. But they were used in ways that hadn't previously been seen before and perhaps shouldn't be seen again. You know, I've got a book, it's an architectural digest book,
yes,
of Hollywood interiors,
oh,
and there's some like pink fluffy walls and things.
Ooh.
You never see those things revisited when you're looking back at recreated versions like the Mad Men.
But you do, if you watch like The Party, for example, you get some crazy stuff going on there. Something I found out recently of an Australian designer, a wonderful woman called Florence Broadhurst. I'd actually like to talk more about her on another show.
We could do a whole show about her.
Absolutely. And for those of you who don't know who she is, she was a wallpaper designer. She had the most amazing checkered history.
Mm.
But she created these amazing 60s, in the 60s and the 70s, these hand-cut, very much of its time, wallpapers, which were sold around the world. It wasn't just here in Australia. She, New York loved them. And I'm waiting for a little bit of a Broadhurst to pop up as a but he hasn't done it as yet, but very close. Some of the wallpapers you'll see are very,
yeah,
much of her style. Wonderful Australian designer.
Maybe their budget doesn't extend to the licensing because those people who own signature prints, they hold that license with an iron fist.
They well and truly do. You're on The Affair tonight with Brett and Brett.
Joy 94.9.
It was 1967 for the Australian Lynn Randall with her hit Ciao Baby. You're on Joy 94.9 and it's a very Mad Men affair tonight. Now, I just want to tell a little bit about the fabulous Lynn Randall.
Okay, I feel like I should have been dancing on Ready, Steady, Go or something then.
It's funny you should say that because Miss Randall was part of the Go set.
Oh, how good am I?
Absolutely. Now, the Go set, this is quite interesting. So she was part of the Go set.
Mm-hmm.
Molly Meldrum was part of the Go set. Then he became the London correspondent for the Go set whilst he was in the UK watching Top of the Pops.
Ah.
Got a little bit of an idea of an Australian pop show. So that's how, a little bit of a Molly connection. But look, Randell actually toured in the United States with the Monkees as well as Jimi Hendrix. So a bit of a difference.
That's a mix.
I know. The little bit of a trivia was she actually started working for Lillian Frank as a trainee hairdresser when she was 14. And she actually asked Miss Frank, I actually need to have some holidays because I've actually got a singing gig. Lillian required proof. Well, if you're going to be a singer, then you need to sing for me and I will decide. So the dryers were turned off. Lynn stood there and sang. Everyone applauded. And then Lillian said, oh, that's very good, darling. You can have your holidays.
Oh, what a great story.
Isn't it wonderful? And I love having a bit of a Lillian Frank. She's a bit of a Melbourne icon.
She is a Melbourne icon. For international listeners, Lillian Frank's kind of a socialite with large hair. She's getting on a little bit in age. I don't think that's going too far out. And she wears a lot of leopard print.
Yes, she's very much... I think she moved to Melbourne... No, she moved to Melbourne in the early 50s and she became very much a huge socialite in the 50s and the 60s and being a celebrity hairdresser at the same time.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So. Now, you know what time it's for, Brett?
It's 6:34.
It's 6:34. Oh! What's that?
Oh, it's a sound that, you know, it's fairly common at this hour in 60s.
And why would that be?
I think it's our cocktail hour.
It is the cocktail hour because this, we are celebrating Mad Men tonight. And obviously, we do obviously say to all our Joy listeners to drink alcohol responsibly.
Only in moderation.
And only in moderation. But it is historically known as the cocktail hour. And I wanted to share because Mad Men do have a few cocktails and do go to a few parties. I wanted to share a couple of historic drinks.
Of the time.
Of the time. And the first one would be the classic martini, which is gin and dry vermouth, and generally strained into a cocktail glass with a green olive or a twist of lemon. Now, the wonderful thing about 60s cocktails, not just it was about what went into the cocktail, but how it was presented to the drinker. Tom Collins, Brett, have you had one of those before?
I believe I have. He was about 6 foot seven.
Oh! Now, this is a wonderful drink. Now, this was a wonderful drink from 1876. I assume he might have been born in
1976.
So, it's a cocktail with gin, lemon juice, sugar, and carbonated water. And what I love about the 60s twist to it is not only it's served with a very thin slice of lemon, but a maraschino cherry.
Ah, nothing like a maraschino cherry.
Oh, my goodness. Now, obviously, if you're having a cocktail, you would have clearly also had maybe some food.
Well, look, you could. You could have many a choice. And do you know what the thing is? A lot of these foods are now available again uber cool bars, thinking they're being ironic. You know, pigs in blankets and things like that. A deviled egg, anyone?
Well, it's funny you should say deviled egg, Brett, because you clearly, to make a deviled egg, you need to cut a boiled egg in half, scoop out the yolk, basically shove it through a sieve, add mayonnaise, a little bit of mustard, some cream, pipe it back into the egg so it looks like the yolk
with
again.
With a swirl.
With a swirl. And if you're very fancy, maybe a little bit of caviar.
Do you want to know something? If you ever come to a party at my house, you will get served deviled eggs on a plate that my mum and dad were given for their wedding anniversary, for their wedding in 1967, which has grooves cut into it, the shape of half eggs. And in the middle of it, you put lettuce for sprinkling. And it comes with a mini salt and pepper shaker on each end, which has a picture of a chicken on each one. So you can salt and pepper your deviled eggs. But and people have asked to borrow the deviled egg plate. It's so renowned.
Oh,
it's great.
God.
You can buy, you can actually buy like plastic containers now that are a similar concept, you know, like muffin containers with the hollow out bit. But yeah, this is great. It's my favourite thing to take to parties. People love it.
It's funny because I had a 1960s dinner party theme last year and we served stuffed eggs. We also served celebration cheese, and it's also known as a cheese hedgehog.
Oh, yes.
Now, does this ring a bell, Brett?
It does. Yeah, I hadn't heard it called celebration.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh. In England, it's known as a celebration cheese.
Oh, okay.
And what it is, dear listeners, you get a piece of a cubed cheese, you thread it on a toothpick with generally a cocktail onion, sometimes pineapple. I'd like to not go near the pineapple.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm doing cocktail onions, cocktail onions are good because you can also get them in multicolours.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you basically cut half an orange, and generally you can either leave it as orange or generally put alfoil on it, and then stick all these wonderful little cocktail sticks of cheese and cocktail onions. And it's a hit.
It's a hit.
It is an absolute hit.
A bit of Cabana as well.
Yes. Yep. A little bit of Cabana.
As if you want to be exotic. Yeah. And you can use the alfoil if you're going for like a space age theme, which was quite popular in the
60s. Yes. Especially coming up to the late 60s around 2001, which leads into what was your favourite 60s movie. Because we've got a ticket for two.
We do. Perhaps your favourite movie was Dr. Zhivago, like Scotty's was, who has just SMS'd us on SMS this 0427 at joy949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Just tell us what your favourite 60s movie is, and you can win a double pass to Only God Forgives. It's a stylish revenge thriller starring Ryan Gosling and Kristen Scott Thomas, and it's all thanks to Icon Films.
Now, Brett, would have, in Dr. Zhivago, I'm trying to think of who actually sung it. Was it Julie London who actually sung the song, or am I just doing too many segues
tonight? Too many segues. But it's funny you should mention Julie London, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we've got one of her songs coming up right now, in fact. It's a classic song, originally known as In Other Words, but then the writers changed the name to what it's more commonly known as Fly Me to the Moon.
Now, this was from 1963.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Pling, pling, pling. Ooh.
You're in Joy 94.9 with Brent and Brent on The Very Mad Man Affair.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me.
Joy 94.9.
You're on A Very Mad Affair on Joy 94.9 tonight with Brett and Brett. We've been talking all things 60s, all things Mad Men inspired. And you were just listening to Julie London with Fly Me to the Moon. Now, we were talking about Dr. Zhivago because the wonderful Scotty emailed us in and said one of his favourite films was Dr. Zhivago. And I said, did Julie London sing Lara's theme, Somewhere My Love? But it wasn't.
No, I looked at you blankly. Yes. But as it turns out, I was looking blankly in the correct manner.
Because it was Julie Christie who actually appeared in the film. I knew
there is a link,
Brett,
somewhere.
I do this a lot. My partner drives Andrew insane. But Lara's theme, and now this goes out to my mother because obviously Connie Francis, her biggest favourite artist, also did a version, as did many others. And obviously on our next week's show, we will be talking about covers.
Yeah, this was a bit of a thing, which I actually noticed a lot when we were selecting the music for this week's show. Everyone just sang everybody else's song.
Yes.
And you'd get two versions of the one song within a year. But anyway, look, next year's show is instead... Next week's show is instead all about cover versions.
Yes.
And, remakes and things like that. But what we'll do, I think, is we'll try to get... quite different cover versions. So we won't give you the 1967 version of the 1966 hit.
No, we're talking more like something maybe like a Motown song that got remade in the 80s or something like that.
Yeah, so we'll do that.
Now, we're obviously tonight, we are talking about Mad Men, and we have a question because we've got this fabulous gift of two tickets for a new
Ryan
movie.
Gosling's Chest.
Thank you. Ryan Gosling's Chest.
It's called Only God Forgives, and we have no evidence that Ryan Gosling takes his shirt off in this film, but that's probably a given. Kristen Scott Thomas is also in it. She may also take her shirt off. We do not know.
Well, she might.
You never know.
Well, yes.
Only God Forgives, stylish revenge thriller, thanks to Icon Films.
We are talking about Mad Men, and obviously the incredibly stylish Mad Men, and it's not just about the interiors, Brett. It's also about the fabulous fash.
It's the look.
Yes.
It's the look. And I don't know if when they started the show they realised it would run for quite so long because they started it in the really early 60s, which was very, for ladies especially, it was very conservative, very classic fashion, kind of your Jackie O style. But as the show has progressed, it has, of course, had to progress through the 1960s.
Yes.
And the 1960s was a period where there was probably the biggest change in fashion of any decade up until then throughout the 19th and 20th century.
I would say there's probably three decades of the 20th century which revolutionised fashion. The 1920s, the 1960s and the 1980s, they just came out of left field and they just completely changed the way what we wear.
Yeah, and the 60s was a period where it went from one extreme, being very conservative, to the other extreme, ultra mini skirts and kind of heading into flower power, psychedelia. And, and then you've kind of got this whole kind of faux Edwardian phase in the middle where everyone started wearing, velvet suits and things.
Which was more of the scene in London because obviously you had a very specific scene in London as opposed to... You had that real Californian scene that happened in the late 60s and it's quite interesting with Mad Men. You can actually see, and it's this season, and the 1968, because this is the season of 1968, 1967 was still quite modish, lots of colour. colour, but still quite well designed and tailored. Mm-hmm. Now it's moving into crazy pattern. And even the guys are starting to look... Roger's wearing his three-piece suit, whereas the younger guys are wearing more... a few more colours, like a brown suit, which I know sounds hideous, but we're talking about men who used to wear black or navy suits.
Yeah, yeah. And I read an interview with one of the kind of stylists on the show, and they were saying about how they were very careful to not just adopt anything from the 60s for any period.
Yes.
So anything that was set up until 1963 didn't feature any fashion trends that didn't come until later on.
Yeah.
But, and it's been, with the show, I noticed they've even gone as far as kind of trimming people's sideburns to the length that was popular at that time.
And you've noticed now, whereas really at the start of the 60s, everyone was clean shaven, there is far more men's facial hair, and women's hair is still spiraling up and out.
Yes.
And helmet hair. I mean, helmet hair came from the 60s.
It did. Yeah, look, and they have covered a whole kind of array. And they're probably glad that it's coming to the end before the unfortunate polyester 1970s.
Well, it's quite bizarre when you actually see about what people were actually wearing. And I love some of some of the fashion houses of the day, like Valentino had his break in the 60s. Yves Saint Laurent had his break in the 60s. And the hilarious thing is some of the most outrageous, whereas probably the house of Christian Dior, where Yves Saint Laurent started, was very conservative. I mean, they had the new wave look in the 1950s. But where Yves Saint Laurent took them, now I don't know if you've seen this, it was either from 1968 or 1969, there's a wedding dress that he created. And it is so out there because in the late 60s, they got all involved with the space race.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the first man in the moon, Neil Armstrong, in 1969. So Yves Saint Laurent has created this wedding dress that can only be described as a giant tampon.
Wow.
And I'd like people to Google it because it is outrageous.
Perhaps make sure you include the words Yves Saint Laurent in the Google search because I don't want to think about what you might get otherwise.
Absolutely. Hey, we've had another... a person who keeps on forgetting to put their name. We want to hear from our listeners. And Funny Girl. Now, I have to say, Funny Girl, fabulous 60s film.
Yep, not bad. Not bad at all.
And it's funny, in the TV show Mad Men, they do occasionally reference 60s movies. They talked about The Umbrellas of Schomburg, which was a French film in the early 60s. They talked about Rosemary's Baby. They talked about Casino Royale, the original,
mm-hmm.
as well as The Party.
There you go.
They've actually made these wonderful references because of pop culture at the time. Speaking of pop culture at the time, Brett.
Let's hear some, shall we?
Oh, my God. How could we do a 60s show from Dusty Springfield? It was 1968. I close my eyes and count to 10. You're on The Affair on Joy 94.9. Affair on Joy 94.9. It's been the Mad Men Affair. We've been talking 60s tonight. We've had a lot of wonderful responses, but we actually have a few more responses which haven't downloaded, so we're not going to be able to, unfortunately, announce the winner. We will contact the winner.
We will be calling the winner within a few short moments after the end of the show.
But we want to say a big thank you to all the people who have actually sent it through. I'm terribly sorry. We are changing over our computer systems here, so there has been delay, so I do apologise for that. But Brett, it's been a fabulous time. Here in the
60s, yeah.
My goodness.
Swinging round in my chair. I'm not actually swinging around. I've been swinging whilst in my chair.
You've been a swinger and I've been a crazy cat tonight.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, look, so obviously there's so many other things. I mean, we've only talked about one facet of the 1960s tonight, which is about the Mad Men. It has been stylish, but obviously we haven't even touched on the wonderful, the good, positive social changes that the 60s did bring, which Mad Men has been trying to highlight through the last few seasons. And I think some they've actually achieved quite well.
Yep.
And I think some is more of a work in progress. And I think the whole racism issue has been handled in quite in a bizarre way, where I think white people were just really, really scared for the unknown. And I think that's sort of been a highlight of the whole show. It was that fear of the unknown and change.
Yeah, it's been... Look, I guess they're kind of hamstrung a little bit because they're trying to represent things as they happened at the time without the benefit of hindsight. So they're trying to kind of convey what the attitudes were at the time, yeah, without them being offensive now. And some of them not. I know early on that there was a lot of stuff with the women's sexism,
yes,
women's issues, I was, yes, going to call it. And there was this classic line in the very first episode about, I think it was Joan showing Peggy around, and she, yeah, said, "Oh, the photocopiers are really easy. Even a woman can use them," or something. And it was that thing of, it's kind of, it's done in a way to attempt to kind of brush it off humorously, but that was the attitude at the time. And it's hard for them, I think, to convey those attitudes without them coming off in an offensive manner today.
Absolutely. And it's funny that you'd mention that, because I think that's the wonderful thing about the show. As stylish and as creative and as beautiful that he has painted this perfect canvas, he still needs to highlight the fact that forgetting the beauty, forgetting the glamorous and the wonderful music and all of that of the decade, there were still terrible cultural divides and changes, and the social changes of the 60s needed to occur, basically.
Yep, yep. Look, it was a change in fashion, it was a change in cultures, but do you know what else was beautiful and astonishingly camp? Barbarella, yes. Miss Jane Fonda, and that is David from Flemington's favourite 1960s film.
Oh,
so
my
he
God.
Has also gone in the draw.
Absolutely.
For the tickets to see Ryan Gosling, possibly with no shirt, in Only God Forgives, thanks to Icon Films.
Thank you for everyone who sent us wonderful 60s movies tonight. We love them. Coming up, obviously, is the wonderful Dennis and Dick with A Touch of Pink. Mm-hmm. But Brett, our next week's show is going to be all about covers, and you have chosen this wonderful last track for us. Do you want to set it up for me, dear?
Okay, well, this is another song that is actually a cover, which, you know, if you really like it, we'll play it again for you next week. But it's actually a cover of Cher's second hit.
Yes.
It was her second ever hit. Sorry, not her second ever hit. It went to number two. It was off her second album in 1966, and this was one of those ones that straight away everybody started covering. And this is the wonderful Dalida, and if you don't know who she is, oh, my God,
she's
diva
heaven.
Extraordinaire with the most tragic life you've ever encountered. But anyway, she's Italian, grew up in Egypt, but she's Italian, and this version is in Italian. And this is from 1967. It's Bang Bang. It was known as Bang Bang, My Baby Shot Me Down when Cher did it. But this is Dalida with Bang Bang. And we'll see you next week on The Affair.
Good night, Australia.
Joy.
Hi, I'm Brett.
Hi, I'm Brett.
And you've been listening to another podcast of The Affair on Joy 94.9.
joy.org.au/The Affair.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.